And next up was Ruth Lee. She's one of Britain's leading economists. She has a clear analytical mind, and she focuses on the economic effects of Brexit.
It's a bit of an obstacle course. I'm delighted to appear to be talking about the economic issues, and indeed a couple of the speakers have already touched on them, so forgive me if I repeat one or two of the points they've made, but I think the most important points. The first thing I would like to say before I go on to the economics is that I want to leave the EU because I want to live in a country that can make its own decisions and make its own way in the world without being restricted by EU membership.
Yeah.
To live in a free country, the country that actually I was born into some years ago. I think the picture was quite an old picture, but never mind. It's as simple as that. But we know in the referendum campaign that economic issues are going to be very, very important. And specifically, I think, when you're talking about the Brexit's impact on trade and jobs. But clearly, the saving on the EU budget contributions will be a nice little fillip if and when we do leave, because in 2014 our net contributions, that was net of the rebate, there were £14 billion, which I know may or may not sound quite a big sum of money, but it's actually quite useful to have in one's pocket, £14 billion. As for for trade and jobs, for reasons I shall explain in a minute, I believe that in the short term, the overall impact will be absolutely minimal. People will hardly notice if we leave Brexit. Trade will continue, as one of the earlier speakers said, and so will those jobs dependent on that trade. There'll be no Armageddon, there'll be no collapse, there'll be nothing to laugh at all. I think that was little Albert and the Lion, wasn't it, when they went to Blackpool and there was no laughing, there was no drownings, there was nothing to laugh at all. What do you mean? I do actually come from the north of England, that's why I sort of break into this broad bit. I think that the people who are now saying there would be collapse or there would be Armageddon, they would be bitterly disappointed. But I think that's in the short run, I don't think there'll be very much impact. But in the long term, as I shall say in a few minutes, I think the overall position would be absolutely beneficial to the economy of this country. But let's just go back to this trade business in the short run. Why am I so confident that the impact on trade would be absolutely minimal if Brexit? Well, last week's trade figures, please note I've gone back to my Cheshire accent. But last week's trade figures, we actually had a goods deficit of $125 billion, which was yet another record. I'm sure the government's very proud about that. But I say it was a goods deficit of $125 billion. $89 billion of that deficit was with the EU. $89 billion. And $31.6 billion was with Germany alone. That's nearly 1.5-2% of British GDP. And I can't imagine for one second that any German car exporter or any French wine exporter to this country would want any disruption or any impediments to their trade with this country. As David has already said, then we would be trading under the World Trade Organization rules. We would not be bobbing around in the middle of the Atlantic. Have you heard that one recently? For some reason, these people who are insistent that we stay in think they would be carted out of the mid-Atlantic beyond Rockwall and bob around. How do you have an island bob? I just don't understand them. No, we'd be still firmly part of the world economy, there'd be no doubt about that. And let's remind ourselves that the vast majority of the countries of the world are not in the EU. And of course, if we were just under the WTO rules, we would be subject to what is known as the common external tariff, which excites some of us, but I suspect not many of us, but there we go. On the whole, the average tariff is now only about 1%, but there are tariffs on cars, for example, that are nearly 10%. So our exporters would face that if there's no trade agreement, and indeed the German exporters would face the tariffs that this country would impose. Obviously, they're going to get round the table and they're going to negotiate a trade agreement. Yeah. It's in our interests, it's in their interests. I had the great pleasure yesterday of hearing Lord Kinnock on the Today programme. And you know what he said? He said, we need them more than they need us.
Rubbish! Rubbish!
Because our share of trade to the EU was bigger than the EU's share of trade to us. Well, I think Homemade has already suggested this, but in the words of another lady, no, 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 hey. In 2015, on the goods account, they needed us more than we needed them to the tune of £89 billion. Mr. Kinnock. But commercial interests aside, and actually I think that is, as the lady earlier implied, that is what makes the world go round, the Lisbon Treaty has got a couple of articles that are well worth noting and well worth looking up. One is Article 8, that becomes between 7 and 9, and it says it talks about a special relationship with neighbouring countries, aiming to establish an area of prosperity and good neighbourliness. Think about that, neighbourliness. They want to be friendly. That's what Article 8 says. And Article 50, of course, which is about withdrawal, does say that the EU shall negotiate and conclude an agreement taking account of the framework for the future relationship with the Union. In other words, the Lisbon Treaty talks about the mood music, friendship, as well as the mechanisms for withdrawal, we should remember that. And I suspect, because I don't have that negative view of our EU partners, I just don't want to be in the EU, we should remember that, and I think they would honour it. And just quickly on the 3 million jobs, this is something that Nick Clegg is very fond of, on the grounds that it's presumably more vote than the votes than the Lib Dems got. Taking the proportion of EU share of exports over GDP multiplied by the labour force and come up with 3 million. By the way, on that basis, the number of EU jobs dependent on trade with the UK would be nearly 4. But such little things negate in the way of Nick Clegg's universe. But would these be a threat? Well, if I'm right, and I think we are right, I really am quite convinced I'm right, then, and the trade is barely affected, these jobs are not under threat at all. I think, rather than go on to sort of, I'll just very, very quickly say what I would see that if we're outside Brexit, where we could get competitive advantage. We could actually amend and repeal the most irksome business regulations that, again, the lady said earlier, was talking about earlier. We could negotiate our own trade deals with certain countries that are important to us, like China and Japan and Australia and New Zealand, the United States of America. The EU does not have trade agreements with those countries. And it was interesting me and rather entertained me this week, because Sir Mike Brake said, oh, we're not big enough to negotiate our own trade deals. Well, I'd like to remind Sir Mike that actually there's a funny little country called Iceland that managed to negotiate a trade agreement with China. And so if Iceland's big enough, shucks, I think we're big enough. Say is that we'd be able to have a non-discriminatory immigration policy, not discriminating between the EU and non-EU nationals as we do at the moment. I think that would be a big bonus economically, and of course, as I've already implied, then we would have the benefit of the net contributions to the budget back into our own coffers. So, but to wrap up, I think in the campaign, we will have a big job of neutralising the scare stories. And the scare stories are around us all the time. You know that the Remainians, as some people call them, are going to talk about the collapse of trade. They won't trade with us. They're going to say these things. They're going to talk about the horrors of Brexit. And the CBI, of course, will be at the forefront of this misinformation. And they were doing their best to sort of spread terror throughout the land. But they do, of course, have form. I remember debating with the CBI over the Euro campaign. They thought it was a jolly good idea to join. And life would have been doom and gloom if we hadn't done. Do you remember that? I certainly remember it. And I remember feeling very isolated at the time because we were one of the few business voices at the time that said the Euro was economically a disastrous mistake. And for those of more mature years, I've no doubt you'll remember Terence Beckett's bare-knuckle fight with Mrs. Thatcher's government. It did not end well. However, that's enough. But I really do say to all of you, I think all our hearts are in the same places here. I suspect we would like to meet in you. But we will have a big, big, big job in reassuring people that their jobs and trade will be safe if Brexit. That's where we'll have to really do some homework.
Yeah.